All right, let's begin. Bottom of Mem Aleph and Beis, the last line. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yom Tov. So those who remember from yesterday's daf, who did yesterday's daf, which I'm trying to remember right now, Rabbi Yossi says on the Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag in the Mishnah that falls out on Shabbos, and a person, let's say, forgot to bring his lulav to Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos, as you were supposed to, and he ends up taking out the lulav to Rishis Rabbim. He doesn't know any better. He forgot, he didn't know it was Shabbos, so he'd bring his lulav to the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. And it was also to do that, because you can't carry outside. The Chacham says only, there's no Eruv. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Pater mipnei sheo tzio birshus. He's actually Pater, he doesn't have to bring a Chiv Chat. That's normally if you carry outside on Shabbos without an Eruv, it violates the Isra Malacha of Hotzah, and that's Chayiv Chatas. So if this guy did it, he thought it was okay, he thought it was permitted to do this, he's actually going to be potter because he was osek in a mitzvah, he was tarred, he did it, took out birshus. That's what the Lashon Mishnah is. Rashi explains on the Mishnah, just to go back for a second, birshus mitzvah. Shehaya tarred b'mitzvah, u'mechashiv asuk. He was involved in doing a mitzvah. U'memahar lasosu mitoch kachta. He was so engrossed in the mitzvah, all the zrizus, he just lost and forgot it was actually Shabbos today. So such a person is potter according to Rabbi Yossi. It's called tab davar mitzvah. The person who's tab davar mitzvah according to Rabbi Yossi is potter from a carbon. Now remember this daf, I think it's a hard daf. Let's see. So Gemara says, Amar Bai, Maya says, Lo shanu ela shelo yatzebo. This is only true if he was at Yotze. Ava yatzebo chayef. But if he was ready yatzo once before, then he's chayef. So the problem is, the only potter, when you're tarred b'davar mitzvah, it's only true when you have not yet been mekayim the mitzvah. If you're ready to mekayim the mitzvah, and now you're doing it again later, that's not tarred b'davar mitzvah, you're ready to mekayim the mitzvah now. You have to be involved in the actual kima mitzvah. He already was mekayim the mitzvah once already. So look at the top line of Rashi. Lo shanu de potter, your only potter, ela shelo yatzei dechovas netila kodem shotziu. You haven't been yotzei yet before. Now he's being tarred with the mitzvah for the very first time of the day. The tarred davar mitzvah it's called. Ava yatzabo kodem shotziu sulo tarred davar mitzvah hu velo tarred behashtem b'mitzvah al-sosa. Once you mekayim in the morning, you went to a sukkah, like that Rizal says in the morning, he's supposed to take the sukkah, dalam him to the sukkah, and shake it before you go to shul, he did that. Now he's going outside to bring it. In such a case, you would actually be chayiv in the carbon. So the Gemara asks now, again, Ha, second line down. Ha midagbay nafikbay. So what do you mean? He already was mekayim the mitzvah because we learned already before. We saw that tosfos right over the siyasan. Once you pick up the dalaminim, you yotze. So once he picked it up inside his house before he left the house, he already was mekayim the mitzvah. So he's going to be chay because in this case it's not called ta'ab davar mitzvah because he already was once kaim according to Abaye. So Amar Abaye, Abaye answers. No. What happened was, like the Tosa suggested, he held everything upside down, or at least one of the minim upside down. He held the esrog upside down and walked outside with it. So he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah yet. So when he walked outside, he was still being tarred in that mitzvah, and that's why he's pater from a carbon. That's the Abaye's answer. Oh, nafoch. Well, very good. Okay, nafoch. At least someone was paying attention. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, now Rava makes another suggestion. Rava says, Amar, afilu tema shelo hafchu. Even let's say he did not flip it upside down. There's no nafochu here. Hacha b'mayaskin, and what's it talking about here? Kigon shotziu bichli. He took it out using a kli. He didn't hold it directly. He was holding it in the box. We have the esrog box. We have the lulav holder. He's holding the lulav holder, holding the esrog box, and walking to shul that way. So he never held it up. He never held the dalam minim in his hand, so he was never yotze. That's according to Rava. But that doesn't make sense because doesn't Vahar Rava who damar lakicha al yedei davar acher shmol kicha? He held, we saw like a week ago, that you're allowed to. You have a handle to the lulav, you hold on to the handle. We said, mim b'mino eno chotetz, and but you're not holding on to the actual lulav. We said, no, because lakicha al yedei davar acher. You hold something through a medium of some other sort, you're still considered a good lakicha. So the Gemara says, no, that's true, only honey mili de derech kavod. Only when this davar acher is a derech kavod. You're wrapping a nice little band, a nice hold around the lulav. That's a derech kavod, so that's viewed as an extension of the lulav. So it's lakicha ay de davar acher, it's called a lakicha. But if I'm just putting it in a box, I'm putting it in a holder, that's not derech kavod, that's just a way to be shomer, to protect it. But that's not an honorable way to hold on to the lulav, so that doesn't work as lakicha. About derech bizayon love, it's a derech bizayon, Rashi says, "Kigon besudar, shikorach yada besudar kedamin leel." You wrap it around the sudar because you don't want to get dirty. You don't want your hands to get rough from the lulav. That's not derech kavod. That's derech bizayon. You're trying to prevent, just protect your skin. That's derech bizayon. In such a case, would not be considered elikicha.
I have that Rashi said derech kavod is kigon besudar and derech bizayon is kigon bekaara.
I also have that. So okay, derech kavod. You're right. So if it's a derech sudar, so the sudar is where it's
I think the main difference is if you're taking something like a glove or something that's going to make it nicer for you to hold it, then you're yotz. If you're just taking something to carry it, some kind of kli, then it's not.
Right. So I do. Your case about the glove, I'm not sure. That toast is in the bottom, which I don't think I have in my this volume.
There was I also had when we read it. They had here. Some people hold that the glove is not
right.
Here.
Based on the Gemara in Pesachim, if you remember the Gemara in Pesachim, that Kohen used to wear a glove when he used to do that vote, that didn't want to get dirty. So the Gemara says something bad happened to him. So compare it to here. But in terms of, I read the wrong Rashi's, if it's a derech sudar, if it's something that's nice, not necessarily a glove, but you wrapped around the lulav, let's say, to make the lulav look nice, that's derech kavod. If it's in a ka'ara, in a plate, or in a kli, that's derech bizayon. That's like, I don't want to hold on to the lulav. That's, I'm not, you know, involved in that. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues now and says, I'm a Rav Huna, I'm Omer. Hiya Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say, Olas ha'of shinimtas bein ha'agfayim uksavar chatas ha'of hiv achla pater. So what's this talking about? Olas ha'of. You have an oaf, a bird, that was brought to be a carbon ola, and you find it nimtas bein ha'agfayim. What does it mean bein ha'agfayim? So Rashi says, it's a long Rashi, but look at Rashi, Omer hiya Rabbi Yossi, Olas ha'of shinimtas bein ha'agfayim. Near Be'inai, Rashi says, Dehai Be'inak Fayim, Enu Elalashan Ofos. Birds, you found an Olas Of among other birds. And Rashi continues and says, Olas Of Shenimtas Bein Ofos Malukim. You find that there are a bunch of birds that have been Malika. Malika is the way you shecht a bird in the base. Maybe that you use your pinky. The Kohen will use a pinky, a long nail, and he'd slice the throat of the Of.
With his nail?
With his nail, yeah.
It's working?
What, it working? It works, yeah. It's hard. One of the harder ones, the Gemara says. Zu echar mi avod akashas b'mikdash. Not easy. So, in the Eretz Yisrael, sometimes you find like a Kohen with like a long nail, a long pinky nail.
Maybe they, how do you say, mashchiz?
Sharpened it.
Maybe they sharpened it.
Could be.
This one or was this one?
Pinky. Yeah.
Yeah, I also thought it was a thumb.
Am I wrong? I thought it was a pinky.
I thought that was the only finger that you could have.
I also thought it was a thumb. I don't know why in my mind.
Maybe I'm wrong. Any of you have machrir here? Do you have any?
One handed, right?
One handed, yeah.
He held the bird and
yeah.
Slices the one hand.
Maybe the thumb then? I was still thinking. Maybe it could be right. Maybe it's the thumb.
We'll
see what Google has to say about this.
Well, that's Ezra Cohen, because he's always
true.
Concerned that he has to do this, so I know he's looking into that.
So is his nail, does he have a long nail?
No, not yet.
Accordingly, the Gemara, because you should always be, a coin should always be ready. Yeah. To be speaking of being drunk, the Gemara says that Rebbe has an opinion that Kohen should never become drunk any day because the Beis Hamikdash could come down right now and you have to be ready to do the Avodah. So the Gemara says, no, only if you know that your Mishpacha actually worked in the Beis Hamikdash, or if you know which week you worked in, that week you couldn't do it. But let's say you knew you had a family that worked in the Beis Hamikdash and you weren't sure which week, the entire year you can't drink. But Rebbe says in Gemara and Tainis that, wait a second, that's Kikulo Zeh Takarasa, that we have no way to know, so we allow people to drink anyways. But there's such an idea that a Kohen shouldn't drink. Where I said, so what's the cases of letting a hair grow long? Can't have a hair grow longer than 30 days. You can't, every 30 days, a Kohen should get a haircut. Where I said, because in 30 days, you could always get a haircut. Just go to the barber and get it cut. But to get drunk, it takes a while for you to get sober. Same thing with a nail. So you have to have your nail ready to go. Because if no one has their nail ready, you're not going to grow a nail in 20 minutes. So some Kohanim and Eretz Yisrael, you'll find that have a long nail. Whether it's a pinky or the thumb, Google apparently is not sure itself.
Sober up
in
a lot of ways.
Hope so.
There is it, Rava, regards to Purim, regards to drinking to the halacha. He drank so much one time that he shecht Rezia.
Come Rabbi Vishachad Reb Zera.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Pnimius about that. I'll tell you about the Pnimius in there. But yeah, that's a. Okay, so either way, what happens is you find this Olas Of that's been shecht and Malika had been done to it, among other birds. And Where I go in Rashi here? Okay, now the Olas Ha'of was sprinkled on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. The four corners, the southwest, you walk up the ramp from the south to the north. This is my Mizbeach, let's say, walking from this way, the ramp. The southwest was the corner you would do the Olas Ha'of to. I'm just summarizing Rashi as I read through it now. Now, there are three things that took place on this southwest corner. One was the Chatas Ha'of one here. One was Hagashos. When you do Hagashos, some of the carbonos have to, like, be pressed up a gate place in the southwestern corner. And the third thing was used for was that's where the Nisach HaYayin and Nisach HaMayim would go. There's these little tubes that went there as well. Also, Shira HaDam mostly says the leftover dam, after you did all the sprinkling, you have leftover dam. You pour the leftover dam on the yisod, like a little platform that juts out. You pour it on top of that yisod. So that's the southwestern corner. So what are we doing about all this stuff?
It says, if the priest performed the medika with the thumb or nail of the left hand, that's rendering medika invalid, since the Torah finger and thumb always refer to the right.
So it's a thumb then?
I think it's a
thumb. Okay, all right.
This is a...
Okay, so what are we trying to do here? Okay, so an Olas Ha'of again. You find an Olas Ha'of among many Chatas Ha'ofs. There's a Chatas Ha'of and there's an Olas Ha'of. A Chatas is for a Chatas. The person does an Aveira, has to bring a Chatas. An Ola, it goes completely to the Mizbeach. Now, there are different halachas that apply to the Ola that apply to the Chatas. So, a Chatas is supposed to be eaten by the Kohen. An Ola is not allowed to be eaten. So let's say an Olas Ha'of is found among other birds, other Chatas Ha'of.
What do you mean found among other birds?
He had a bunch of birds, they just kept them like shechling them one after the next.
How do you know which one is what?
So they assume there's all supposed to be Chatas Ha'ofs in one section. We'll put all the, sprinkle the stuff on his back, and the leftovers we'll give to the Kohanim to eat. Somehow an Olas Ha'of got thrown in there, and they didn't know. They all look the same. It's all the same bird.
Okay.
But one was supposed to be an Ola and should not have been in the pile of the Chatos. The problem is, there's a big halachic difference, because the chatas is supposed to be eaten, and the ola doesn't get eaten. So it's usher to eat the ola. So what happens is, so you find it among the other chatas of, and kasavar shechatas ofu, you thought it was a chatas of, or the coin thought it was a chatas of, and he ate it. He's potter. Why? Why are you potter for eating the ola of? Normally you're chayiv for eating the ola of. So my kamashma, the gemara says, the tov davar mitzvah potter. The person is being told. He thought what he was doing was a mitzvah. He was being torahed. He was doing something proper. There was a mitzvah to eat all the other chatas of that were there. He happened to pick the wrong bird out, which was an ola. He's tov davar mitzvah. He's potter. So Gemara says, what's Rav Huna coming to add on? Hainu hach. That's the Mishnah. Rav Huna, who's only a mora, is not going to add on something that the Mishnah of the Tanna already taught before his time. So Rav Yossi in our Mishnah taught us that if a person walks outside on Shabbos with a dalam minim, trying to be kind in the mitzvah of dalam minim, he's actually potter. So what's Rav Huna coming down? They're both saying the same thing, that ta b'davar mitzvah is potter. So Gemara says, Mal, the same of what would you have thought? Hasam hu d'ta b'davar mitzvah potter, only when it came to dal minim you'd be potter, hainu d'avar mitzvah. So, because in the end of the day, he actually did a mitzvah. When the guy took the dal minim outside, he was being mekayim in a mitzvah. Aval hacha d'ta b'davar mitzvah v'lo avar mitzvah. But here, he took the olas ha'of and ate the olas ha'of. He was not mekayim any mitzvah. He may have been torahed b'davar mitzvah, but he wasn't mekayim a mitzvah. Maybe in such a case, you wouldn't be potter. You'd actually be chayiv for eating the olas ha'of. Emalo, kamashman, come to teach us. No, we don't care if in the end of the day a mitzvah was performed. We care if a person was tov b'davar mitzvah, he's considered potter. When it comes to karbanos, all goes based on das. The person was shogeg, he forgot it was Shabbos, he did something wrong. The person was doing something, the das was also to do something positive, so then even though he never did anything positive, he's going to be exempt from being a karban. Gemara asks a question now. Meisive. Rav Yossi Omer HaShochet Es HaTamid Sheinu Mevukar. Someone who shechs a karban tamid that was not checked. Anybody know the source of how you're supposed to check karbanos tamid? Today's Shloshim Yom Kod Machag. You're supposed to start learning the halachas of Pesach. So Gemara Pesachim, if you guys remember that they took the 10th of Nisan, they took the Karban Pesach to check it for a few days. 4 days, you have to check it to make sure it was no mumim. You check it for 4 days. And through the Moed, the Gezer Shava, we learn also the Karban Tamid requires to be checked 4 days prior to it. So what happened was, Rabbi Yossi says, if a person took a tamid, and the tamid was never mevuker, was never checked for mumim, and he shechted it. So what's the halacha? And shechted a kilchasa, he did a proper shechita, b'shabbos, chayv chatas. You use chayv chatas. V'tzarech tamid achen, you need another tamid. So why? Does Rashi explain, hopefully, here? So Rashi says, this is the first medium wide line down in Rashi. It says, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Ashochet es atamid she'enu mevukar kilchaso mina mumim b'shabbos chayv chatas. He takes this this animal, never checks it, and shechs it on Shabbos. And it's a good shechita. He's still chayv chatas. Because he, why? Mishum shechita b'shabbos. Shechita on Shabbos is chayv chatas. She'enu shal mitzvah ve'enu docha. He didn't make a mitzvah. So they point out from this Gemara here, I believe, I think it's Arch Laner here, maybe even a Tosos here. All right, look at Tosos. She'enu mevukar b'kilchaso. Tosos says, "Vafilu nimsa tam." Let's say in the end of the day you found there was tam. It was not a bal mum at all. It was completely good. Okay, you didn't check it, but a tam. Mishum de tam biker dal yamim kodem shchita de beperek misha yatame yalafle mipesach b'gzer shav, like we just said. So what do you mean? Who cares? You didn't check it. Fine, you made a mistake. But at the end of the day, it was a tam. So shouldn't it be a good shechita? You were mekayim a mitzvah. You did a good carbon tamid. Why are you chayv chatas? And why did they bring a second one? So they point to this Tosfos. I think the Minchas Chinuch has this hakir. It's pretty clear in the Gemara here. That what's the point of being mevaker the carbon tamid? Was it a practical din, or just to make sure there's no...
Or
it's a hechsher. This is part of the process. You need hachana when you do the mitzvah. So they point out the pashas the Gemara, and the way Tosfos understands it is that it's a hechsher. It's not simply to find the mum. You're also looking for mum, but you have to do the proper hachanos before bringing the carbon tamid. Since the proper hachanos were not done, even though there was not a baal mum, it's a pasal carbon. Now, I think the Aruch Haner has a discussion which kind of wiggles out of this and says maybe even the other way you could still say, that even it's a practical thing, but he still points out somehow it's pasal. I don't remember. Okay, either way, what comes out here is, shouldn't this be a case of ta b'davar mitzvah, and you should be pata from a carbon? Why are you chayiv a carbon chadis for shechting a carbon tamid on Shabbos? Samar le bar mina dehahi, forget that case. Go, why? Why forget the case of the carbon tamid? Deha itmar la, it was said about this case, Amar of Shmuel bar Chatai, Amar of Hamnuna, Saba, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashion, Amar of Huna, Amar Rav, a lot of people's names, Kigon sheviu melishcha, Shena mevukarim. So Rashi explains, this is the first white line down in Rashi, Melishcha Shena mevukarim. Dainta toba davar mitzvah. Shibitlam shibalishcha zu ain't no tarid. Shina omdim la kravalios charid alem masayi kravu. He didn't bring from the proper chamber. There's two chambers. There's one chamber that had the properly checked karbanos and the one that didn't have. So if he took from the wrong, he took from the wrong one in the first place, that's not considered toba davar mitzvah. He wasn't being torid in the mitzvah. The mitzvah was to take from the proper lishcha. He took from the wrong lishcha, so that wasn't the right one. Is that clear? Not so clear. Let's see.
Well, we never defined what Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah means in terms of practically. It sounds like Rashi's saying that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah means that in a person's haste to get something done, like they go through some type of process they should have gone through, not that they initiate something be'isser. Sounds like Rashi's making something b'chilek of what Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is.
Yes, what exactly is the chilek he's saying? Why is this case different than any other case? Because he took from the wrong lishcha, but he still wanted to do the mitzvah. That's the point. I think Rashi is emphasizing the cheftza of the mitzvah. Came to the dal minim, that was a cheftza shel mitzvah. When it came to this case, these things were not cheftza shel mitzvah at all. There's no mitzvah involved. When it came to the case of the olas of was still a chefza shel mitzvah. You did the wrong mitzvah with it, but it's still a chefza shel mitzvah. But these were not a chefza shel mitzvah. I think that's clear. Look at Rashi. Let's read Rashi again. Melishcha she'enu mevukarim. His day into Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. This is not considered Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Why? Shebetlam shebelishcha zu eino tarid. Sheinu omdin lakrava. These objects, these animals, were not omdin. They were not considered a. They didn't have a shem chal shem mitzvah on them. Yoschara lem masai yikravu. I think that's the point he's saying. The difference between whether the chepsa was a chalos shem mitzvah or not. So whenever it's not tav b'dar mitzvah, in the end of the day, Rashi says it ends up being pretty similar to that tav b'dar mitzvah. Taking a quick peek back here, if anything different on that. Okay, nothing. Okay, so I think that seems to be the understanding. Okay. The new mission now says, Mekabelas isha miyad b'na. So what happens is you come home, the husband shakes the dalaminim, talking about not Shabbos, he's talking Yom Tif, you're allowed to carry outside on Yom Tif. He gives it to his son shakes a lulav, then his son passes over to his mother. So Mekabelas isha miyad b'na. So the mother takes it from the hands of her son, umiyad bala, and from the hands of her husband, umachsiras l'mayim, then she puts it back into the water b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do this on Shabbos, a little bit trickier. Yom Tif is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tif, but the idea is that on Shabbos, it's not an issue of Zoreya. Zoreya is planting one of the Laman Tes Melachos, so it's only a problem of putting into a water where it actually takes root. If it doesn't take root, you can put flowers back into water. The Poskim discuss changing the water, renewing the water. It might be an issue of Tircha, so you can't change the water over. Also, if it comes to a flower that hasn't yet bloomed, so that's also a problem, but if it really completely bloomed, or the Dal Minim, which is nothing blooming that's going on, the Lula of the Hadassah Revels pretty much stay the same, you're allowed to put it back into already used water back on Yom Tif. Here the mission says, on Shabbos, we paskin not to do it on Shabbos, but in Yom Tif you're allowed to do this. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer, b'Shabbos machsiv, on Shabbos you could put it back, uva Yom Tif mosiv, and on Yom Tif you can even add water to it. You can't change the water, you can't exchange it with new water, but you could add new water to the old water. That's what Rabbi Yehuda paskins. Uva moed, during Chol HaMoed, machlif, and you can even switch the water, which is very advisable as the revels get pretty dry. It's been a good halach discussion if I looked into it a little bit more, but okay. Then the Mishnah says, "Katan hayudei linanea chay belulav." And a katan who knows how to shake the lulav properly in all six directions, he's chayv to do. You're chayv to get him a lulav. So we see that when it comes to the various mitzvos, the shear of chinuch is not age six, it's not age seven. Is he able to do that particular mitzvah? When it comes to tzitzis, can he wear tzitzis? Can he wear the tzitzis properly? When it comes to tefillin, it's older. Can he properly protect and watch over the tefillin? It's an older age. It's 12 when you're for tefillin. Each mitzvah depends on the abilities of that child to perform the mitzvah. So here, can he shake it properly? He's chayv and lulav. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's pretty obvious that, what's obvious here? What's pshita going on? Let's see.
This is on the Beit Hamikdash man.
So it's not an issue of muksa.
No.
I mean, you think it might be muksa. Muksa means anything that has no purpose, I can't move. So right. For the man and for the son who's a chiv chinuch.
Beit Hamikdash, we learned the first day you're allowed to use it. So why should it be muksa?
No, so maybe for her, for the woman, maybe it might be muksa because she has no mitzvah, you might think. She has no mitzvah. Mitzvah is asay, she has man grama. She's potter. So for her, it's muksa. So.
That's the answer
of the Gemara. Oh, okay, fine. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course she's allowed to take it. Why shouldn't she take it? So the Gemara says, no, Mahu the same. What would you have thought? Hov isha la bas chiyuvahi. She's not chayiv the mitzvah. Eima lo sakava. She shouldn't accept it. She shouldn't hold on to it. Rashi explains, di lagava, with respect to the woman, ika isa tilto. It's isa to, it's muksa. And it's a muksa, so she shouldn't be able to take it. Kamash malam, that she's allowed to take it. So Rashi explains, what's the hetifer? Kumash Malan, Rashi explains, Kamen de roi linatilas anashim toras kli alav umoter betiltu lechol. So once there's a function for somebody in this world that has a shame chefta shel kli, and that's not considered muksa. I would have thought that the Kumash Malan is that she's allowed to be mekayim the mitzvah here. Because she also is a key mitzvah. Mitzvah say she has man grama, women are pater from. But if she wants to, according to the way the Ashkenazim at least paskim, she's allowed to even say a bracha on it. So what's the chiddush here? She could say a bracha. It sounds like Rashi's explanation of the Gemara is that no, women are actually cannot be but kind of the mitzvah. The Sfardim paskim that women do not say brachas on mitzvahs aseh shashman grama. They want to shake the lulav. There's no bracha for them because they're really excluded from it. They want to shake the lulav. Let them shake the lulav. Seems like Rashi is taking that approach that women are not mekayim any mitzvah. The only reason why they're allowed to hold on to it is because it doesn't have a shame. Because it does have a shame kli alav. So that the Or Zeruah apparently says we can learn from here from this Rashi that it's aser for a woman to say a bracha on mitzvah asei sheman grama. Beautiful. Rabbeinu Tam, as I pointed out, that how we paskin a woman can say it. So how do you explain the Gemara here? Right, the Kamash Malan is that women are allowed to be kind of the mitzvah of lulav. Beautiful. Okay, just like we said. Okay, the Gemara says now, Katan ha yodeh l'nanei. Katan knows how to shake the lulav properly. We're supposed to get him a lulav. And the halacha is you're supposed to get him a proper lulav, a good one, not simply, when we say a chinechsek doesn't mean a puzzle lulav, doesn't mean a lemon. You have to get him a kasher lulav. Also, the lulav has to be the right size. All the dinim have to apply. Now, we can rely on certain bidyeved lulavs, that bidyeved, according to some opinions, are kosher, but it can't be entirely puzzle. We do find some exceptions. One that comes to mind is the Gemara Chagiga, that Beis Amun Aleph talks about that the chiv chinech of having a katan go a lila regel. When you go a lila regel, every shlosh regal, you're supposed to bring a carbon ola riyah with you. So Tosfos that points out, though, how do you do smicha on it? Because if they're not really chayiv in it, so you can't do smicha, and it's a question of chulun ba'azara or something, so he says you don't have to do smicha. Even though, I forget the whole of chocolate tari and the Tosfos, but he paskin, do you have to bring a carbon? But no smicha is brought, but they ask the question, but what do you mean? If you have to bring it, all the mitzvahs have to apply. How could you bring a carbon without there being the proper smich of leaning onto it? So there are some exceptions where we find where the katan does not do everything entirely the right way, but as much as possible, we try to get him to do the mitzvah to its fullest. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, katan hayodeya linanea chai belulav. Person knows, a child knows how to shake the lulav, he has to get him a lulav. Lisate pachai betzitzis. If he knows how to properly wrap himself in tzitzis, he's supposed to wear tzitzis. You know, there are some who actually, when they have tzitzis, most of us, maybe people do it differently, we just put, say the bracha and put the tzitzis on. There are some who actually take the tzitzis and wrap themselves in the tzitzis, not talis, the talis katan. They wrap themselves and say, bircha lehasatef betzitzis, they say in the morning, and they wrap themselves in it and then put it over their shoulders. Some actually have such a custom.
So you do say bracha on tzitzis katan?
We don't.
Well, it depends, right? We don't, because we have in mind when it comes to for the talis. Yeah. What? But the kids who don't wear talis, so they say the bracha. Oh, some say lishatef, actually.
So who, the father says for the kid or the kid himself?
The kid himself says it for himself.
And he
wraps himself, has to be a big enough beggar.
And he doesn't say al mitzvah.
I think he says lishatef patitis. It's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. Most Ashkenazim do not do that, but there are those who do.
So that's still bar mitzvah once they become our mitzvah.
No, even when they're younger, they start wearing tzitzis properly. If they know, once they know how to wrap themselves properly, they say lisatef, dua atifa.
In that case, nobody would say al mitzvah tzitzis.
In that case, I think so, right?
Okay.
I think so. So, based on this Gemara, lisatef tzitzis means you're supposed to wrap yourself, you know, the way we put our talis on their head. That's what you have to do. That age, when you know how to do that, that's when you start wearing tzitzis for a child. Lishvor tefillin, when you know how to protect the tefillin properly, then aviv lokech lo tefillin, then you're supposed to buy a tefillin. So our custom is to have 30 days prior. Sometimes a person's going to Eretz Yisrael, let's say January time.
30 days prior to Bar Mitzvah?
Yeah, so when he's 12 days and 11 months, 12 years rather, and 11 months old, that's the custom to start wearing, and that's the first day of putting tefillin on. Now sometimes what happens is a person has a nice winter break and the family goes to Eretz Yisrael. They want to put the tefillin on by the kosel. So they'll start putting on a few months earlier also. So assuming the child's able to do it and properly being shown with the tefillin, that's permitted as well. But the general custom is a month before being bar mitzvah. Now there are those who actually don't do it at all before. Some
we
only don't. Wait. Oh, you don't do it. Okay. At the bar mitzvah.
We do it, I think, the first laning day before the bar mitzvah.
Oh, yeah? So some don't even do it until the actual bar mitzvah day.
No, we do it just the day of the tefillin, the actual bar mitzvah.
Right.
We do that.
So some do that.
The day that he becomes 13.
Uh-huh. That's how we do it. Okay. So that's the din of when you wear tefillin. Yodei ledaber, he knows how to speak. Aviv lomar, aviv lomdo, Torah, v'kriyashma. The father starts teaching him Torah, starts teaching him how to recite Kriyat Shema properly. So Gemara says, Torah Mahi. What do you mean he's teaching him Torah? Which Torah do you teach him? Torah Shema Chasava. I'm not sure really what the question is. But the Gemara says, Amar Bnuna, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Marasha Kilitz Yaakov. You teach him this pasuk, the pasuk that tells you about the importance of Torah. Torah came from Moshe, who came from Makarish Baruch Hu. It's a Marasha, it's a special inheritance we have. That pasuk you're supposed to teach him. That's what it means, Torah. And then you teach him how to say Kriyat Shema. And now Gemara asks, Kriyat Shema Mahi. What do you mean, Kriyat Shema? He starts saying the first Abba, he says, Mami. You start teaching him all Torah? You can't sit down and learn Torah. You can teach him the entire parsha of Kriyat Shema. Gemara says, no. Pasuk Rishon, you teach him the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, and that's enough. And that's how you slowly get him into Chinuch in terms of Talmud Torah. A person hayodeh l'shmor gufo, a person knows how to properly watch over his body. Does Rashi explain what that means exactly? Rashi says, yes. Exactly. Mitumas mago masavol. He knows how to not touch things that are tummy. He knows not to touch a mace, not to touch a sheretz. He knows not to go under an ohel, not to lift things that are tummy. He knows all the dinim of tumah, which is probably an older age, I would imagine. But at the same time, they used to live in the times of tumah v'tara, so maybe even younger than we would imagine, they would know how to be shomer themselves from shomer gufo. So once a person knows how to be shomer gufo, ochlin al gufo taros. So then he's able to eat agufa and taros. What does it mean, agufa and taros? So Rashi explains, ochlin agufa taros, im noga gufo betaros ein choshin lahem. Let's say he happens to touch, he rubs up, his body touches a piece of taros, we're not concerned that he was tameh and then was metameh the food. But his hands we don't trust, because his hands start being, hands move around a little bit more, and his body might stay tar, but his hands might be tame. So if it touches his body, we trust him. If it touches his hands, we're concerned it might become tame. Next stage, as Gemara says, let's say Lishmor's Yodov, let's say he knows how to even watch, make sure his hands don't touch everything in the world and not touch things that are tame. Then the Gemara says, even Ochlin, Yodov Taros. If he touches something with his hands, Taros with his hands, we're not concerned it became tame and we could still eat it. Then the Gemara says, what about a person who Yodeh Lishoel, Birshus Yachid, Sveiko Tame, Birshus Harabim, Sveiko Tame. So this is a halacha that generally when it comes to Tumah V'Tara, if there's a Safek in Rishus Harabim, we are Nekil, we say it's Tahor. If there's a Safek in Rishus Yachid, we say it's Tame. That's the basic rule. And that's learned out from Sota. Sota says a Tumah, so we have a Gzer Shava of Sota to Tumah. So those, just like a Sota, the Safek of a Sota, the woman who's a Sota, only could take place Rishus Yachid, but not Rishus Rabim, so too when it comes to Tame. But there's another thing when it comes to this, what's the phrase called again? What's the thing? Your daily shoil. Your daily shoil. I'm not remembering this. Okay, I don't remember. But part of these points come out is that you have to, has to be a person who has the ability, you can ask him whether he knows he was tummy or not. If it's a child who doesn't know how to answer the question whether he was tummy or tower, then we have to assume even the Rosh Hashanah, he's tummy. So the Gemara says again now, Hayodeya Lishael, a person knows how to be asked and knows how to answer properly whether he was tameh or not. So then the halachas are, if it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, if he was involved in some type of safek, tameh, in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then we could trust him. He's got Sefeko tameh, but Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Sveiko Tar, we could trust him that in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that the safek will become tar. Again, if it's a safek in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's always going to be tameh. If it's safek Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so if he's able to answer the question properly that it was Tameh or Tahor, if he knows how to do that, then we can assume Safek is Tahor.
So what's the difference between that and a regular person? I don't understand. Like we always say that Safek Tumah versus Hayachid is Tameh and Safek Tumah versus Harabim.
But if it's a case where someone who's involved, you can ask him the question, so then he could be Megalitas, Mavar, what happened?
So if it would be a katana, he wouldn't know, then he wouldn't even be suffering, right. And it would be definitely Tame, even versus Harabim.
Right.
The fact that he's a katana, he might know that right. We say that versus Harabim.
Exactly. But it's only if he says, I don't know this case. I mean, he's a person who knows how to distinguish between Tame and Tar.
But in this case,
he didn't know. Okay. So then we are Mekil in Rosh Harabim and make Machmir in Rosh Hashayachid. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Hayodeh Lifros Kapov, knows how to separate his fingers. He's a Kohen for Birkas Kohanim. Cholkin lo Chuma beBeis HaGranos. You could give him Chuma, and Beis HaGranos refers to like the threshing fields where they used to do all the Chuma preparations, and you give it out to the Kohen. So if you know that he went to the he was duchening once upon a time. He knew how to do it properly. Then you're allowed to give him truma, because that means if he could do that with his hands, that means he also knows how to properly be shomer the taros, being shomer the truma. So that's the age of when a person is able to start eating truma.
So a cotton, a real young cotton, doesn't eat truma at all.
It's a good question. That's he's really young, so he's in the house of his father. For Hesia.
Because the whole issue is other people should see that he's getting truma, and they might think that he's not going to be shomerit. So.
But once his father brings it home for him, then his father could feed him.
Yeah, so you're handing it to him. He's not really eating. You're not like feeding him.
Let's see. Because people realize because those who are giving him truma, people are gonna say, well, you know, this guy is gonna be, he's not gonna watch it.
Or he's not gonna, he might give it to somebody
Right, but even before that, if you look at the bottom Rashi, four lines from the bottom, it says Cholkin lo truma beveis granos. He says umekame hachi, before he reaches this age, then ein cholkin lo begorin. You don't give him befarhesia. Aval mishagrin lo lebeso. You could send it to him to his house, not through him though. But he could eat it at home. Im yodel l'shoma b'tara, if he knows how to b'tara. But there could be a child who's even younger, a 2-year-old. He's not allowed to eat truma because he doesn't know how to properly.
So what it seems is that the whole thing of Nesekes Kapayim is that people see him doing duchen. So once people see him in the base in shul doing duchen or in the base amikdash, they know that he's big enough to watch it, and there is no bizui truma.
So they're saying it's a concern of bizayon. That's what it says there.
So it seems to me that the reason is because other people see him doing it, so they realize that he's big enough to be shomer it because he's in public doing.
I see. Okay, I see. Rashi says bizayon truma. It's a bizayon because everybody knows he's a bucky. People say, oh, look, they're giving a truma to that little kid who's walking in the streets.
Right.
And even though we know he knows how to do it, the people are not aware, it creates a bizayon. Okay,
right.
That's what Rashi says. Then the Gemara on top of them, Beis on Beis, tells us, going further and listing these various ages for various mitzvos, Hayodei lishchot ochem shchitasa. A person knows how to do shchita properly. So even though he might not be a bucky, Rashi says, in all the hilchos shchita, but knows how to do at least the proper maisa of swinging his hand, we could eat from his shchita. But Rav Huna says, "V'hu shegadol omer al gabav." It's only if a observing the way he's doing is proper, because the guy there's no halachas. So if a gadol's there to make sure all the halachas are being done properly, we could trust his ma'isa was done properly as well. Okay. Yachol lech. So this is an interesting one, actually. In regards to the other ones, it was the age of when he's allowed to do the mitzvah. This is not in terms of doing it. This is like in terms of us eating from his shechita. It's slightly different than the previous ones.
We learned also with I think with the kuti also that you're allowed to eat,
right? Chulin. We get chulin. Talks about that, right?
Is
there a makbid on it? Right. So this one's just slightly different. That it's that we could take advantage of their action. I mean, because the shechita itself is not a mitzvah. I guess the fact is we're letting him to do the mitzvah of shechita. Once he knows how to do that, we let him to do it. And the point is, we let him to do it to the point that we're allowed to eat from it. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Yachol lechol kezayis dagon, if he's able to eat a kezayis dagon, a cookie, let's say. Marchikin mitzel aso. If he goes to, he makes in his diaper, you have to stay away from the diaper. That's why when a child reaches a certain age, he starts eating food, you're supposed to check the diaper before you say a bracha or before you daven or learn in front of him. Umi may raglav arba amos, you have to distance yourself from such a child, dal amos away, unless you've checked already that he's clean. So Amr of Chisda says, v'hu sheyachol ochol b'chli achli espras. It's not simply eating a cookie over 3 hours, it's like nibbling away. He has to be able to eat the cookie in the course of 3 to 9 minutes, whatever shear you use, that he can really down that cookie. And then his tzoa and meir glayim become something of significance, whereby you have to distance yourself from it before saying a bracha or learning. Mar says further,
So what's exactly the case that the katan is, he's eating?
If the katan, at what age do you have to be start being concerned that the you have to check the diapers before saying a bracha? child is a newborn, all he has is...
You have that you're saying a bracha next to the katan, or...
Yeah.
That if you're next to the katan, you shouldn't say a bracha.
You shouldn't bench and all that, those kind of things, yeah. So if it's a newborn, you know, the child's simply just nursing, so there's no concern at all. Until the age of 3, he could be nursing, and there's no concern.
Do we hold on that?
Yeah, sure, it's brought down in the halacha.
Oh, wow, I never... Yeah. Now when you have grandchildren, it's...
Right. Yeah, it's a big... Yeah.
You can't even think words of Torah.
I mean, I'm holding the kids when they hear it, they always do the diaper.
Right, and you're not changing it.
Mirrors and stuff.
Yeah, so. Oh, wow. Yes, yeah, so if it's a young child where it's not eating any cookies yet, so then it's not a problem. But once they start eating cookies or challah in the right amount of time, so then there's a concern.
That was Gerber's baby food.
Gerber's baby. But I don't know. Usually they have like some oats. They put the oats in it, right? Some of the.
At some point,
yeah. I don't know. If it's not Doug and Mamish, maybe it wouldn't be a concern. But okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar of Chia Breid of Yevo." Who be gadol, when it comes to a gadol, let's say, afa pishenu yachal echel b'chteach this pras, even though he cannot eat it, but once you're gadol, then we say across the board, once you're big enough, a certain age, let's say the age of 3, even though the child, let's say, is not a good eater, and he's still nursing, so still at the age of 3, where all children are able to eat a kizayis b'chteach this pras, then even then you have to distance yourself from his diapers. Dechsev, the pasuk says, by machov. Some of that pasuk is supposed to prove that to us. Let's see, a quick look on the side here. I see, okay. He gets smarter and wiser than Machov, then discuss the Masreches adds on as well. Yachol lecho kizayis tzli. He could eat a piece of meat, roasted piece of steak. Shochan olav is a Pesach. You could include him in your guest list on Karban Pesach. Shenem arish lefiachlo, according to his abilities to eat. If he's able to eat a tzli, then you could shecht for him. Rehuda omer ach yachol levarer achila. Only once he's able to be mevarer to separate the food. Meaning, ketzad, how do you do this? Nosen lo tzur vizarko, egos vanolo. If you give him a rock and he throws it, he knows this is not food. He chucks it. You give him a nut, and he takes it to eat it. He knows how to distinguish between food and a nut, and a food and a rock, rather. So then we say you could give him that's the shear of when he's can be chayv in the carbon Pesach. Hajin alach lulav hagazel. New parak now. Second to last parak. We are 14 blot away from the seam of Maseches Sukkah. Okay, running out of time.
Who's doing seam?
We have 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Lulav harava. So lulav and harava. Shisha. Vishiva. So came to Lulav Narava that you have 6 or 7 days. What's Lulav Narava? So Lulav is taking the Lulav, that's 6 or 7 days. It's the Gemara is going to explain all these different cases, but 6 days, if let's say it this way. If first day falls out on Shabbos, so then the first day is a Mitzvah Deraisa, we take it on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you end up having 7 full days of the Lulav. But let's say it falls out any other day of the week, and Shabbos falls out during Chol HaMoed, let's say, so you would not take it on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. You don't only have 6 days of Lulav such a year. And same thing with the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. Like we do HaKafos, we do Shano HaKafos during the week. They'd also do it around the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. So for them, if day 7 fell on Shabbos, then it's Docha Shabbos. But if it falls out any other day of the week, if day 7 falls out during on a Tuesday, and Shabbos ends up falling out on the 4th day of Sukkot, let's say, so you would not be docha that 4th day of Sukkot if it fell on Shabbos. Only if day 7 of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos are you docha the Arava. So that's why either it happens on 6 or 7 days. Ha-Halel va-Simcha Shmona. Halel, of course, we're citing Halel, full Halel. And when it comes to the Simcha, which means Basar Shlomim, Rashi says, eating Basar Shlomim, the meat, that's all 8 days of Sukkot. Then when it comes to Nisach, so Sukkah v'Nisach, sitting in the sukkah, v'nisach hamayim, which is a special water libation they pour in the mizbech, accompanying the yayin esach. We'll get into detail some other point. So those are shiva all 7 days, even on Shabbos, nothing changes. Ha-chalil chamisha, chalil is the instrument they used to use for the simchas beis shoeva. That was only going to be 5 or 6 days, because that would not be docha Shabbos at all. So, and it wouldn't be docha yom tov either. So if Shabbos and Yom Tov fell out on the same day, so then you have 6 days remaining to do it. That's the most you could do, 6. If Yom Tov is during the weekday and Shabbos is another day, so then it knocks off Yom Tov, knocks off Shabbos, that leaves us only 5 days to use Chalal, use the instruments for the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Mishnah says, Lulav Shiva Ketad. What are the examples? How we have a case of Lulav is all 7 days. Ketad, the Gemara says, Mishnah says rather, Yom Tov Rishon Shechag, the first day of Yom Tov, Shechag is Shabbos. Lulav Shiva, Lulav is all 7 days. Vishak Koyamim, if Sukkot's first day falls out on any other day of the week, then we say Shisha, it's only 6 days. Arava Shiva Ketad. How do you have Arava 7 days?
It's 7 today?
No, not today, only based on Mikdash, right. Nowadays we only have 6 because Shabbos we never take it, right. Arava Shiva, how do you have Arava, which is when you walked carrying the Aravos, Machok is what you actually carry, but let's assume the Arava, you walked with the Aravos around the Mizbech, how do you have a case where it's 7 days? Yom HaShvi Shel Arava Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if the 7th day Arava falls out on Shabbos, then you're Dochet. Arava Shiva. Vishar Koyamim, if the 7th...
Arava Shiva Kitzad. So how do you do 7 days of Aravot?
If Yom Shvi Shel Arava Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if the 7th day falls out on Shabbos, so then you're Dochet Shabbos, and you have 7 full days of Sukkot, of Arava. Let's say, and then Arava is Shiva. Vishar Koyamim, if the 7th day falls out on any other day of the week, which means Shabbos is falling out on the 4th day of Sukkot, let's say, then you only have Shisha, only 6 days, because Shabbos is only Docha Rava on the 7th day, not any other day.
Mitzvah. Did they have a Shana Rava at that time?
They had such a concept, yes, Shana Rava.
If that was on Shabbos, they wouldn't take that?
If it was on Shabbos, they would.
That's the only case they would.
But that, well, they said the 7th day is on Shabbos.
If the 7th day is on Shabbos, that's which is it's Hoshana Rabbah,
I'm talking about the last day of Yom Tov.
Yeah, oh. Hoshana Rabbah. Because let's say Eretz Yisrael, we had one day Yom Tov, 6 days of Chol Hamoed,
right.
And then Shmiat Eretz.
Shmiat Eretz is
right. So then the Gemara says, Mitzvah Lulav Ketzah. What exactly is a Mitzvah Lulav B'Shabbos? How do you go about doing the Mitzvah Lulav if it falls out on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Mishnah. So Yom Tov Harishon Shachag Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Day one of Sukkot is on Shabbos. Molichanes lulavim, they'd all bring their own personal lulavim. Laharbais, Rachazanim, the people who are the gabayim who are officiating over everything. Mikablin mehem, they would take them. The sujanosa magave itzva, they had this big platform, they lined them up nicely. Vazakenim anichanes shalahem belishcha, and the elders got the special privilege to put it in one of the chambers. Umalamdin osam lomar, they teach everyone to say, kol misha magia lulavai liado harehu lo. They say, made it tonight. I skipped a line?
Yeah,
man. Oh, sorry.
No.
I said that.
He said that.
Okay, I'll say it again. The elders got the privilege of putting their lulavim in the chamber. They teach everybody there to say, Lomar, kol mi shemagia lulavai liado. Anybody who my lulav gets to their hand, harehu lo, I'm giving it to them b'matan as a present. Because the halacha is, lakachtem lachem, you have to own the lulav. So if I take David's lulav and he takes Adam's lulav, so then we're not being mekayem the mitzvah. So we bring all our lulav, and we say, whoever gets my lulav, it's going to be his. And everybody says that. So whichever lulav you get, which we see a lot of trust here, everyone has a proper lulav, hopefully everyone has a kosher lulav, so then you get pick up a lulav, now it's mine, and that's my mitzvah of Dal Minim for day one. Then the Macha, what happens the next day? Mashkimen, they wake up early. Ubon v'chazanim zarkinim son lefneim. The chazanim would take the lulavim and throw them out to everybody to just pick out a lulav. And v'hein mechatvin, and they would end up fighting with each other. Umakin ish es chaver, they hit each other. Uchshero bezdin, shebolu de sakana. They saw this was quite dangerous. Hiskinu sheyekol echar v'echar nolu b'beiso. So you know what? Stop bringing it to the base of Mikdash on day one, on Shabbos, at home. Shake it in your own home and don't get into any fights.
Why are you hitting each other?
Because everyone wanted the best lulav, I guess. I don't know. Does Rashi explain why?
Yeah,
they wanted the best lulav.
They wanted to, the mitzvah. I think they wanted to get it first.
A first, was it? A lot of fighting. Kind of like when they fought the Chumash Edeshen.
That's what you say. Kol mishem
gilvelev. לחנות. כל מי שיגידו לב לידו, אנשים חששו שיש שאינם מתנים כך.
אין מה?
כן, אין יוצאים
בלבדנס. They not getting out the mitzvah, which is my lulav, you know.
Of my lulav, okay, right. The Miri says he wanted, everyone wanted their own lulav,
right.
Even though they had this such a tonight.
They all wanted.
It's probably really hard.
Because they thought that the other guy really didn't. Just one question.
Yeah.
I don't understand.